Hey, welcome back. I, of course, am John Sin, your professor of Punani. And today, I'm very, very, very happy to be bringing you a subject that is one of the favorite things guys like to ask me about, and one of the more important tools of building and maintaining sexual attraction with women. So we're talking today about sexual teasing, and over the next 45 minutes or so, I'm going to be breaking down sexual teasing in more detail than I've ever gone into on it ever before. And I'm also going to be revealing my five types of sexual teases and giving you a ton of word-for-word examples. So all of that is coming up very shortly. But as always, I like to start by defining the terms we're talking about and making sure that everything is clearly understood as a base level concept. So I want to start by talking about what teasing is. Because before we can even get into the sexual part of teasing, we want to get into just what it is to tease someone, what it is to tease a girl. If you've been studying dating for any amount of time, I'm sure you've come across the idea of teasing before. So what is teasing? What does it mean to tease a girl? There's a lot of people out there who teach this stuff who don't have a good understanding of this concept, in my not-so-humble opinion. You'll get guys who say, you know, teasing is saying something like, nice nails, are they real? And then when the girl comes back and says, no, they're not, then you've devalidated her a little and she wants to win you back over. That's not really true. I mean, that could work if the girl was already sort of interested in you and thought your opinion mattered, but if you're just some random guy off the street hitting on her, then it's probably not going to work. Other guys say you should call girls dorks or Powerpuff Girls or, you know, give them little nicknames, and that's cool, but, you know, that's not all of what teasing is. Teasing really is kind of an art. It's the art of saying something that, on one hand, is kind of cruel, but on the other hand, is meaning I like you. When it comes to teasing, if you think back to when you were in grade school and you liked a girl, you didn't tell her you liked her, you pulled her hair and ran away, or you told her she looked like a frog and laughed at her, or you stole her toys. And that's kind of the same level of communication. Teasing does a lot of amazing things. Teasing shows that you're not intimidated, that you're not taking the girl or the situation too seriously, and that you're used to being around women. Teasing, in a way, is a form of pre-selection because it shows that you understand women, that you know how to communicate with women in a way that they find fun, flirty, playful, and that's really important. And that's my third point about teasing, which is that teasing is playful. The girl should never at any point feel like you don't like her. Even when we add the sexuality, obviously the sexuality makes it a little more obvious that you like her, but when you're teasing, it's really, really important that you keep a smile and that you touch the girl. If you do those two things, the teasing is a lot more playful, because a lot of times, you know, you will basically mess things up because you say something harsh and the girl thinks you're serious. So if you smile and touch when you tease, the girl's always going to get the underlying meaning that you like her. And that's really what teasing is about. Teasing is nothing more than competent flirting. It's being able to express interest in a woman, show her that you like her in a way that's fun, that's flirty, that she understands, and that subcommunicates that you're a guy who gets it. You're a guy who understands women, and you're a guy who understands how socializing between men and women is supposed to work. So that's really what teasing is. And I want to end the explanation here with the best quote about teasing I've ever heard, which came from a guy named Wayne, who said that sarcasm was the art of being, of saying something that on the surface sounds nice, like nice shirt, man, but really meaning you suck. Teasing is the art of saying something that on the surface is rude or mean, but really means I like you. If you keep that in mind, you're going to have a great amount of success with teasing. Remember, there's no points for making a girl feel bad or devalidating her, quote unquote, or disqualifying her. None of that stuff really works because in the real world, if you're an asshole to people, when you just start approaching them, they're probably most likely not going to be into you. Some people will, but most are not going to be into that, and it's going to end up going badly. So it's important that you understand that teasing is friendly, flirty, and playful. If you get that, then the rest will go pretty easy. So now let's move on to explain what sexual teasing is, because there is a difference, and the difference is slight. It's not a huge difference, but it is a difference because when we're sexually teasing, we're trying to basically use humor to introduce sexuality in the interaction. In my massive field experience of approaching over 10,000 women and sleeping with literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beautiful women, I can tell you that humor and sexual teasing are the best ways to bring up sex. You have to bring up sex. At a certain point, between a man and a woman, there's no other thing to talk about. And at that point, it's really important that you move the topic to sex, sexuality, you two liking each other, you two having some sort of relationship, whether it's just physical and one night or, you know, emotional and many years, but you have to move to that subject. And in my experience, just kind of trying to talk about sex out of the blue is not the best thing to do. Instead, it's a good idea to start by making sexual jokes and making them about the girl. And we'll talk about how to do that. Because humor takes away the idea of the sexual threat. When a woman starts talking to a guy that she's attracted to, she is going to feel in a certain way, like if he brings up sex or if he's too interested, she's a little threatened. You know, safety is a real concern for girls. They don't want to get raped, et cetera, et cetera. So she's going to feel kind of uncomfortable if you bring up sex too early on. Now, is every girl going to feel uncomfortable? No. Some girls are kind of slutty and are down right away. But most girls, the majority, whenever I talk about most girls or, you know, every girl or almost every girl, there's always one-offs and there's always girls who are going to just be into you or girls who are just not going to be into you. But I try to keep my techniques and tactics focused on the majority of women, that 80% where they might kind of like you, they might kind of not, but they're not totally out and they're not totally in. So sexual teasing is what happens when we take flirty statements that are teases that say, I like you, and we add sexuality to them. We add a sexual element in. We add something that either talks about sex, talks about sex with her, talks about sex with us, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's really the best way to start sexualizing an interaction because there's no threat. It's funny. The girl laughs, but at the same time, she's passively accepting you talking about sex. Even if I say something benign, like, you know, I'm on my period tonight, so you're not getting any. Now I've brought up sex and the girl now laughs and I've kind of introduced sex into the equation, the idea that she wants to have sex or we want to have sex without it being awkward or uncomfortable. Contrast that with me just saying something like, oh my God, you're so sexy, right? Which puts a lot of pressure on the girl and a lot of sexual threat. So it's important to understand that sexual teasing should not be overly sexual. Like, you're not going to like tell the girl that you want to fuck her in the ass in a sexual tease. You're not going to tell her she has great tits or you want to like do her from behind in a sexual tease. That stuff all comes later. That stuff all comes when you already have some attraction. Sexual teasing and teasing in general, you know, they happen more early in the attraction phase. Because basically what happens is when you start talking to a girl, you want to start by just building what I like to call social comfort. Just not being a weirdo, you know, just not doing anything that totally creeps her out or makes her feel like she doesn't want to talk to you. And social comfort I've defined many times in various programs and blog posts and stuff. So if you want to Google that, or if you want to check out the 5-minute chemistry course, there's a whole lot on social comfort in that course. But basically, we just want to not be weird. Social comfort is the idea that if I went up to them after 5 minutes of talk, if you talking to them and asked them what they thought of you, they would say, he seemed like a nice guy. Not, ooh, I want to suck his dick off. Like, just, you seem like a nice guy. You seem nice and normal. They'd rather talk to you than not talk to you, than go about their business. That's all social comfort is. Then, that should take no more than 5 minutes. If the girl is not opened up and wanted to talk to you in 5 minutes, you're really wasting your time. Get out of there. If girls are not at least somewhat interested in at least having a conversation, maybe not attracted in the first 5 minutes, but at least interested in having a conversation, unlocked, you know, contributing, everything like that, you should walk away. But no more than 5 minutes of that. Then you need to tease, you need to break that social comfort in order to get the girl to chase you and start being attracted. Then you want to build some attraction. And after you've built some attraction, then you can start to build some sexual attraction. You want to build kind of regular interest, value-based attraction, looks-based attraction, physical, value, emotional, intrigue, all of those basic types of attraction to get the emotion of the girl being attracted, which is that she wants more of you. She wants more information. She wants to be around you longer. She's interested in you. Interested, attracted, it's all the same. It's two ways of saying the same shit. So that's kind of when you use the sexual teasing, is you're going to use it, you know, I mean, it could be 3-4 minutes in if everything goes really smoothly. It could be 10 minutes in. It's basically once you have some attraction, you want to then start to sexually tease the woman. And you want to continue to do it. You know, we used to teach that you only really need to tease girls for the first few minutes, and then after that you don't want to tease too much because it's going backwards and yada yada yada. It really depends on the girl. Some girls love being teased. Like, you can just tease them basically all the way into bed, and those girls are awesome. Other girls, you know, they need a little more work. They need a little more you know, other stuff besides just teasing. So you really have to depend. If the girl's really playful and quick-witted and kind of funny and sarcastic, you can tease her all the time, all throughout the interaction, both sexually and non-sexually. If she's not really that kind of personality type, then you maybe want to, like, just tease every, I don't know, every, like, 10 minutes up front till you get her either on a date or get her phone number, and then, you know, once or twice every time you guys hang out. But don't overdo it. I mean, it's a really good tactic, but it's also not a good thing to kind of overdo all the time. You know, like, a lot of people will over tease. They'll just find out. They'll just feel like that's what's working, and they'll press the button. And you can actually see girls sometimes. When I used to teach boot camps in field, you could see girls kind of getting less and less into it every time they do it. Like, the first time they did it, the girl was, like, pretty attracted to him. And the second time, less so. Third time, less so. And by the fifth or sixth time you tease the girl in 5 minutes, you know, she was just not into it. So that's basically what's going on in terms of when to tease. Now I want to talk about why teasing is important a little bit. I touched on these things a little bit earlier when I talked about things that teasing does. It shows you're not intimidated. It shows that you're used to being around women. It shows all of that stuff. But it also, most importantly for sexual teasing, brings sex into the equation. It gets you into the mind space of her accepting sexual conversation. And if you can do that in the first couple minutes, you're really on your way to getting that girl into bed fast. In fact, I would say sexual teasing is probably my number one tool for building sexual attraction with women, just because you can use it a lot, it's easy, and it doesn't have that threat that some of the other techniques have where the girl might reject it. You know, sexual teasing is almost an entirely rejection-proof way of building sexuality into the interaction. So that's why it's important, what it is, and when to use it. Now I want to move forward into talking about the five types of teases that I use and that I teach my private coaching students to use in order to get amazing success with women. So first, I'm going to just kind of go through the list fast, give you maybe like a one sentence, two sentence description of what each thing is. Then we're going to zoom in and I'm going to explain it in more detail. And I'm also going to give you multiple examples. So by the end of this audio, you're going to have more examples of sexual teases than you'll know what to do with. So the five categories of sexual teases, and I've come up with these after years and years of extensive research. Don't get too hung up on the names. Just kind of understand what each type of line is, more than getting super hung up on like knowing exactly what things are. Sometimes there's overlap. Some of these are similar, but you know, there's a clear difference in what they are and what they do. So it's important to know what that is in order to have true mastery of sexual teasing that I know all of you listening want. So the five categories are: number one, pushbacks. And a pushback is an unflattering stereotype that the girl is going to push back against that's somewhat sexual. Fast forward, rewind. Fast forward, rewind is where we're going to try to get real sexual, and then we're going to take it way back. It's one of my best techniques, one of my newest techniques, one of the things I haven't been teaching guys outside of, you know, my private coaching students. Push-pull. Sexual push-pull. Obviously, push-pull is where you say one thing nice and one thing kind of mean. So sexual push-pull is that same process, but with sexually into her and sexually not into her. Cocky and playful. Cocky and playful is a great kind of framework for getting sexual. I sometimes even like to call it cocky and sexual more than like cocky and playful. Let's just officially change that. We're going to call it cocky and sexual. All right. And the last one is challenging, sexually challenging women. So when you're sexually challenging, you're able to tease them through the force of you couldn't do something. Very powerful psychologically. All right, so let's go through these in more detail, starting with the pushback. So as I said literally a minute ago, the pushback is an unflattering sexual stereotype that allows you to tease the girl about her sexuality, usually about being inadequate sexually, and gives her something to push back against. The whole idea of a pushback is that when you box somebody in, sometimes they're going to go with it if it's a positive stereotype, right? Like when I talk about sexual mind reading and sexual framing, you know, we talk a lot about setting frames that are positive female stereotypes because we don't want the girl to push back against it. Well, this is the flip side of that coin. This is where we're not trying to set this frame. We're actually saying things that we don't want her to be because we want her to push back against them. We want her to argue and qualify herself and laugh and do all of these things and fight back. So we're getting her emotionally involved in the interaction. Pushbacks are my favorite, because they're easy to use, they're short, you don't have to remember a lot of stuff, and they get the girl emotionally involved in the interaction. Like, when she starts pushing back and fighting, playfully, obviously, you're creating sexual tension. That playful combat between you and a girl is sexual tension. There's a level of sexual tension that we need, and we want a little combativeness. We don't want everything to be going super smoothly all the time, because a lot of the time, those things come to a crashing halt. But when there's push and pull, it creates tension, and that tension is naturally going to be resolved through sex. I mean, that's how kind of men and women can resolve tension, or beating girls up like Chris Brown, but we don't do that. So, sex. So, the great thing about pushbacks is they start to create that type of a dynamic, and that's really what we want. So, let me give you a couple examples of pushbacks. Saying, you know, you're a really nice girl. I can just tell you're kind of old-fashioned. Like, you're like the wait-a-month-before-sex girl. You're kind of prude. You're totally like the missionary-style lights-off girl. You know, you don't get out much. You're like a little inexperienced. I can just tell you're too young. You're like young and you haven't had good sex yet. I can tell. All these things are short. They're easy. They're basically just things that are sexual for her to push back against. You always want to say these with a smile. You don't want to say these in a judgmental way. Like, if I'm like, you're prude, she's going to be annoyed. And maybe she pushed back against it. Maybe she doesn't, but you know, she's going to be more angry than if I smile and go, you know, I can just tell you're a really sweet girl, but you're just a little prude. It's cool. You know, you just couldn't handle me. All right. That's a combination of pushbacks and challenging, which we'll talk about later. So pushbacks are great because you can use them really early in the interaction. I can use pushbacks in the first 5 minutes. I can use pushbacks even in social comfort, because they just give people something to push back against, and when you do them in a playful way, the girls won't get mad. So pushbacks are generally how I like to start my sexual teasing, just because they give me somewhere to work off of for the rest of the time. One of the cool things about sexual teasing is that when you tease a girl about something once, you can call it back and continue teasing her about it for the rest of the interaction, over the phone, in person on dates, etc. So it's good to establish themes early on, and pushbacks help you do that because they give you something to argue with the girl about. So that is the art of the pushback. Now we have fast forward rewind. Fast forward rewind is one of my newest, most powerful techniques. Fast forward rewind basically works like this. We're going to make a sexual tease that is over the top. So I might say something like, you know what, me and you are going to go on a romantic date to Red Lobster, and I'm going to take you. It's going to be so amazing. We're going to get the best seat right up front. We're going to go to the park. I'm going to have red balloons for you. They're going to float off into the air so romantically, and then I'm going to lay you down on a blanket and fuck you in the ass on public. And the girl's going to laugh and go, no, that's not going to happen. That's gross. And I'll be like, no, 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 you misunderstand me. And that's where the rewind comes in. So the fast forward is a sexual comment, a sexual tease, something about having sex with her, something that assumes more of a relationship sexually with you and her. After you do that, the rewind happens when you then take it all the way back. So I'll go, no, no, you misunderstand me. I don't believe in sex before marriage, so none of that could happen until we've been married for at least 10 years. I don't even hold hands until the 34th date. And the girl will now laugh, or she'll agree. Either one. Either of those reactions, the girl is agreeing. And now, once she agrees or plays along, right, because girls will either agree, they'll be like, oh, that's good, or they'll play along. So she'll go, yo, that's good, because, yeah, 34 dates, you're, like, kind of a slut. You know, if the girl plays back, then any of those reactions, I want to fast forward again. And I'll go, well, you know, I said I would have sex with you in the ass after marriage, but, like, oral doesn't count. So if you want to blow me in the bathroom, like, later, that's cool. And then the girl will laugh, and she'll be like, no, and I'll rewind again. And it's this process of making sexual teases that are overly sexual and that aren't even sexual teases, really. They're kind of more statements of intent, or, you know, over-the-top sexual jokes, right? Like, I might say something like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to dress you up in a French maid outfit and just do terribly dirty things to you. And they're going to be like, no, no, bad. And I'll be like, no, I mean, like, after we're, like, married and, like, 56 with, like, 7 kids, you know, like, I want that Helen Mirren older lady body to laugh. And then I'll fast forward again. So you use this to kind of control escalation and to kind of get more sexual than you can seriously, because the rewind takes it back. It's almost like you're, like, telling her things you want to do to her sexually and then saying, just kidding. Except instead of just saying, just kidding, which can kind of come off weak and not so great, you're instead rewinding and basically taking it back by going really far in the opposite direction and making sure that she knows you were just joking, you're just messing with her, you're just playing around, you're not serious, and she doesn't need to be worried. So that's fast forward, rewind. Now I want to talk about sexual push-pull. And we'll start by just kind of quickly defining what push-pull is and how it works. So push-pull works because it's psychologically very confusing. It creates what's called fractionation, where you are simultaneously validating and devalidating the girl at the same time in a funny, playful way. And this stopping and starting of emotions, much like the fast-forward rewind, gets the girl emotionally invested. And emotional fluidity, getting the girl emotionally invested, is really powerful when you add some sexuality to it. Because if you can't control the girl's emotions, if you can't get an emotional reaction from her, if she's just apathetic and flat when you're talking to her, she's not going to sleep with you. A lot of guys fear the blowout. They fear the conversation that, in my definition of a blowout, is a conversation that goes less than 5 minutes and doesn't really get any attraction or social comfort. There's just, you're talking to people who are not interested in talking to you. And it might be they just don't respond. It might be they give one-word answers and walk away, whatever it is. But that's not really the enemy. Because the truth is, not every girl is going to sleep with you, even when you're really, really good at this. So we want to find the girls who will sleep with us. So the girls who are just not going to sleep with us no matter what, we want to get those girls out as quickly as possible, rather than waste our time trying to attract them and turn them on and blah, 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 blah. So the enemy is not the blowout. The enemy is the 20-minute set to nowhere. And, you know, push-pull gets girls emotionally invested, which keeps them from being 20-minute sets to nowhere. The 20-minute sets to nowhere are when the girl's not really invested emotionally. It's where she just is kind of either killing time, being polite, helping her friend, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But push-pull kind of hurts that because it emotionally grabs the girls by simultaneously teasing and escalating. So let's look at some push-pull lines. Now, when we come to push-pull sexually, what we're doing is we're basically sexually accepting her and then sexually rejecting her. So I might pull the girl in, and you can also do push-pull physically. That's another thing to keep in mind, is that physical sexual push-pull is extremely, extremely, extremely powerful, especially for dealing with last-minute resistance when a girl's in bed and doesn't quite want to go further. You know, she wants to wait, or maybe she kind of wants to do it and she kind of doesn't. Sexual push-pull is really good. You know, getting really turned on, being really into the girl and being like, right, we have to stop. That stuff is very powerful. So that's something to keep in mind, is you can mix verbal and physical. You can do physical push-pull and you can do just verbal push-pull. So, for example, if I want to mix physical and verbal, I might pull a girl close to me and go, you smell delicious, and then push her away. Or I might tell the girl that I hate her and she's gross, and then hug her. That's a mixing of signals. Physically warm, verbally cold, verbally warm, physically cold. That works just as well as verbally warm and verbally cold. So that's kind of the idea of push-pull, is to be both warm and cold. You know, the pull is warm, the push is cold. And that's the real way to think about it. Sexually accepting her, pull. Sexually rejecting her, push. Push, pull, push, pull. Very powerful technique. So let's look at some lines. So I like saying, you know, you are sexy. You're trouble. Get away from me. It's great. Really the most basic of push sexual push-pull lines. You're sexy. Get away from me. You're sexy. You're trouble. Another thing I like to do that's a type of sexual push-pull is a negation. So a negation happens when you tell a girl to not do something, you know, and negations are incredibly powerful because if I tell you right now not to picture a blonde girl in a bikini, the first thing that's going to pop into your head is a blonde girl in a bikini. So with negations, I can sexually tease and push and pull her while telling her not to do things. So I might say, you know, you have to stop being sexy. Really? I mean, like, I'm trying to be professional here. Like, you need to stop. Or I might say, you know, don't think about all the dirty things that you want to do to me. Like, I see it in your eyes. I see what you're trying to do here. Or I might say, stop looking at me like that. I see you trying to use your, like, sexy stare. Immune, right? Even if she's not doing it, I can accuse her of it, and that kind of pushes and pulls her, because the accusation and the telling her to stop is a push, but the pull is me kind of bringing it up, because obviously I'm somewhat interested. So that's kind of push-pull. You can figure that one out on your own. I don't want to waste too much time going through a million examples here, just because I think we have some other things that are harder to understand that I'd rather explain, like cocky and sexual. Let's talk about cocky and sexual. So David DeAngelo obviously introduced the idea of cocky and funny. And cocky and funny is a good attraction tool, cocky and playful, whatever you want to call it. The idea of saying things that are simultaneously slightly arrogant and funny. So that's cocky and playful, not serious, joking around. Now, on the other hand, we have cocky and sexual. And that's where you say things that are cocky but also bring up sex. So, for example, you know, I could say, you know, I'm glad that you're talking to me like a real person, because of my looks, a lot of girls just treat me like a piece of meat, you know, and I have really deep feelings and thoughts, and I just want to be appreciated for those. Like, I'll read a whole magazine from front to back, and nobody wants to talk about that. They just want to get me back to their house and try to show me their stereo, but I'm glad that you're not like that. Or I might say, you know, I figured it out. Girls are sexual predators. Like, if a girl gets mad at her boyfriend, she can go out and put on her push-up bra and do her makeup and do her nails, and she can go meet a new guy in, like, 10 seconds. Maybe 5% of guys can do what 100% of girls can do. Plus, girls have one organ that's for nothing but sexual pleasure. But you haven't fooled me. I'm on to you guys. I've figured it out. You are sexual predators. Like, right now, you're, like, sitting there crossing your arms, sexual predator, trying to reel me in. But I will not be tricked, not again. I was taken advantage of once, and it really scarred me, you know? So just don't take advantage of me. It'll make me sad. I'll cry. Other things you can do with cocky and playful, or with cocky and sexual, is say things like when a girl says something, I might respond like, are you saying you want to make out in the bathroom with me? Or, you know, if the girl, like, says something I do is really cool, I'll be like, well, you know, feel free to throw your panties at me at any time. Or I will say things like, I have that effect on women. I have that effect on women is a great thing for anything. I'm like, sorry, you know, like, if a girl's like, it's hot in here, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'll try to turn down the tiger heat. It's, I do bring the tiger heat. I'll try to not be so hot. It's a gift and a curse, really. You know, I'm trying to control it better. But, you know, just try to control yourself. The idea with cocky and sexual is that you're basically acting like she wants you. Like, she wants you, and, you know, you're the girl. One of the best things you can do for this kind of cocky sexual stuff is to basically think about all the things that girls say to guys and, you know, flip those around. So, you know, like my period joke I made earlier, that came from some girl telling me that she was on her period, so I wasn't going to get laid. So now I say that to girls. All these things kind of come from places like that. So if you put some thought into it, you'll come up with some really good cocky and sexual frames, and they'll really help you kind of understand the whole idea of cocky and sexual better. You know, there are frames like she wants you, frames like you're a tease, there's frames like, you know, there's all sorts of frames. We don't really have the time to get through them now, but there's a lot of stuff that basically can be used within that cocky sexual framework to move an interaction forward and to introduce this idea of sexuality in a very easy to use way.